This is 91.9 KVCR. Good morning. I'm Ken Vincent. On Fridays, most Fridays, we hear from Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff. We review a few news stories of the past week around the Inland Empire. Good morning and welcome back, Cassie.
Thanks, Ken. Good to be back.
You are entitled to a little time off every now and then, so glad to have you back. Let's start out with something that didn't happen at the San Bernardino County Board of Supervisors. They had a bill to ban rave concerts at the San Manuel Amphitheater up in DeVore. And what happened with that legislation?
Well, it failed, not because there aren't legitimate concerns. There were a lot of people there who live in the area. This has been a rural area. The county built the amphitheater there about 20, 25 years ago. And it was a rural area with Glen Helen Park there and a narrow two-lane road leading in. And immediately there were problems, complaints about traffic, and with these big rave-type concerts or any of the festivals, complaints about people coming out of the park and, you know, vandalizing the neighborhood, you know, urinating on the side of the road, things like that. Also, noise has been an issue. So the raves had been taking place down at the National Orange Show Event Center in the middle of San Bernardino, and a lot of complaints from there because the sound traveled south to the hills in Grand Terrace, and the people there were being kept up late at night with the booming music. And so they moved up to the amphitheater, kind of farther away from the population center, but they created their own problems up there. Janice Rutherford, the county supervisor whose district includes the amphitheater, proposed the legislation to stop having raves. She couldn't get the support of enough of her fellow supervisors, possibly because two of them weren't there. Josie Gonzalez and James Ramos were absent. Kurt Hagman from the West End voted against it. And so it needs three votes to pass, even if there are absences. So it failed.
And you say this is a pretty stout debate going on between whether or not raves ought to be banned.
Well, on the pro side, people who think it should be banned are concerned about the noise, the traffic. You know, these attract thousands and thousands of people in their cars. And also, of course, the unfortunate drug deaths. You know, the officials mm-hmm. do their best to keep the drugs out of the venues. They search people going in, but people still manage to get a hold of drugs. And there have been a couple of deaths up there at these types of events or after the events.
And there have been some incidents of violence, too, that made the news. What are the arguments against banning raves up there?
Well, there's a lot of economic benefit to the area from bringing in the raves. The concert promoter said they employ 1,200 people during these weekend-long events, so that's a lot of hours of employment for people. The hotels fill up all over the San Bernardino area, and that's a lot of business for the hotels, restaurants, gas stations. It does bring in a lot of revenue.
We are very likely to see this come up again then.
It sounds like it. Well, the primary thing they're going after now is to curtail the length of the raves. Instead of letting them go till 2 a.m., they're talking to the promoter about perhaps shutting them down at midnight or even 11.
Okay, next, tell me about the mayor of Lake Elsinore being placed on leave after being arrested for domestic violence.
This is Mayor Brian Tisdale of Lake Elsinore. He is in his second term on the council, and he was arrested on June 20th, last Monday, on suspicion of battery on a former companion. And his employer is the county of Riverside. He worked for County Supervisor Chuck Washington. Washington immediately placed him on an administrative leave. He also relinquished his duties as mayor. He is taking kind of a leave of absence from the council until this gets resolved. He has not made any statements about what happened or why. He said at some point he will go public and take accountability for what happened.
Okay, so with a 5-member council, the mayor out of the decision-making process on city business. What happens when the city council gets some business to take care of and it's like 2-2?
Well, this has been a pretty agreeable council. They haven't had a lot of very divisive 3-2 votes. They say they think they'll be able to conduct business as usual. You know, it only becomes a problem if Tisdale steps down permanently and there's a vacancy. At that point, the council would have 60 days to fill the vacancy either by appointing someone or by calling a special election. Or if he's gone for more than 3 months consecutively, the office becomes vacant and then they have to make a decision like that.
Okay. And finally, a bit of good news. The first responders to the San Bernardino December 2nd terror attack got some cash.
Right. Both the sheriff and the police chief went back to Washington in January and met with a lot of officials, congressional officials, to make a pitch to get reimbursed for some of the costs of the extraordinary law enforcement effort and emergency response, including fire. The U.S. Department of Justice has come through with $500,000. Now, that's going to be divided up among the sheriff, the police, and the fire departments. But this does help a little bit. It's an important first step is how officials are discussing it. They say these agencies spent an estimated $20 million on this response. It was a start.
Just the San Bernardino December 2nd attack. Really? $20 million was the outlay.
Well, Ken, when you consider how many agencies responded and the length of the response and, you know, the investigation that took place immediately to track down who the shooters were and then to find them. And then, of course, it ended in this shootout. You know, there were many people beyond the 14 that were killed. There were many, many injuries. So there was a tremendous emergency response, fire department, ambulances, police department, police agencies from all over the area, not just San Bernardino and Redlands where the shooters lived.
Well, all of a sudden now the next question is, so is that all they're going to get is $500,000 from the feds?
Well, I think they're still hoping that there will be some other grants. This is a U.S. Department of Justice grant. I think they're hoping that the state will help. This initial grant, in fact, will be distributed by the state to determine how to divide it up among those departments. But yeah, I think they're still hoping that Congress will appropriate more money to help out.
You know, and just an aside, it's really a tragedy if Congress would have to make a line item, annual budget item, out of compensating local governments for mass shootings.
Well, Ken, I think you're right. I think, you know, we could anticipate the same in Orlando, Florida. I'm sure the agencies there are going through exactly the same thing.
Okay. Press Enterprise columnist Cassie McDuff, welcome back.
Thank you, Ken.